You are listening to Hoisting the Sail, a supply chain podcast. From our studio at the Brooklyn Navy Yard overlooking New York Harbor, we talk to the innovators and professionals who use the wind to power the maritime supply chain. I'm your host, Kat Bride. Hoisting the Sail is presented by WindSupport NYC. On today's episode, we are delighted to receive Jean Zanutini, the CEO of Neoline, a startup based in Nantes, France, on the beautiful Brittany coastline. Founded in 2015 by two former merchant marines, Neoline wants to lead the charge in operating cargo sailing vessels close to zero emissions. Jean, it's an honor to welcome you to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Kat, for inviting me on this podcast.
Jean, Neoline is being watched by a lot of people right now. You guys are creating a huge buzz. In fact, on our inaugural episode recorded back in March of 2021, our first guest, Andrew Wilner, was already speaking about it. We're going to listen to a few words that he had to say right now.
We're right there at the end of preserving those skills of the past to serve the future and taking full advantage of the technology that's been developed since the 40s in both sail technology and ship form technology. And it's a matter of whether or not those innovative companies that are willing to build new ships that are using sail assist, that was sort of ironic. It turns out that the Neoline ship's first cargo will be Renault automobiles from France to Canada. So it's a roll-on, roll-off ship, and it's been built specifically to do that work. And it is a sail-powered vessel.
Jean, we're curious about your background. Did you grow up sailing or work in the shipping industry prior to starting Neoline? Please tell us about your career path and what led you to found the company.
I'm 39, and I was graduated from a French Marine Merchant School. And so I started to sail as engine officer and deck officer. I sailed during 7 years to chief officer position. And then I switched toward project designing in the maritime industry. I used to work on the harbor project, new project of piers and basins and everything like this. And also I've worked also on the new building projects. Aside of my professional work, I used to talk a lot with friends about future possibilities of a reduction of impact of the maritime transport, which is really our field, our background. And so with Michel Perry in 2011, we've started to work on the concept of Neoline with a ro-ro cargo ship heavily relying on the sails in order to propel the vessel. We've quite quickly opened an association. We were 9 founders at the beginning working and thinking about this project. And it is in 2015 where we started to open a real company, Neoline, and starting to invest in order to make this project real. So it's quite a long-run project.
Tell us also, Jean, about the ideas of modern shipping. I think that there's a lot of knowledge in shipping that we've lost, but it seems like Neoline has taken a lot of that knowledge from a ship like the Belém, right? And that's been in use over 100 years. And it's one of those old workhorses that even with technology from over 100 years ago, it still does the job. So when it comes using sails and sailing technology, how did that really become a part of Neoline's bottom line?
I had the chance to sail on board Belém during 4 months, second mate. It was very an amazing experience. We've learned so much. And it really gives us the feeling that wind is really powerful and capable to power a vessel. Of course, the technology is very old because Belém was built in 1896, 120 years old, so it's very old. What's also interesting is to see that technology have evolved quite heavily also during the sailing vessels era. If you compare Belém to older ships and you look closely, you can really feel that there are a lot of differences. late sailing ships introduced, for example, steam winches in order to reduce the number of people on board. It's very interesting to remark that the technological advancement did not start at the moment where we introduced engines. It's, of course, something which is continuous from the beginning of navigation. The sailing vessels were competitive until the beginning of the 20th century, and they were overtook by engine vessels because of the lack of punctuality. It was not a problem of regarding the number of crew, because generally on sailing vessels, it can have even less crew members than on early engine vessels.
Mm-hmm.
But it was more the problem of punctuality, because you didn't know when you start a trip if you will arrive within 10 days, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, even 1 month sometimes.
Sure.
So that's a difficulty. And at that moment, this difficulty was a real problem for the newly industrialized world, which wanted to be on the reliable planning as much as possible. This is why the use of sail declined and disappeared on commercial shipping from the Second World War. Now we have a revolution in terms of technology, because we can access to a reliable weather forecast everywhere, at any time. Mm-hmm. So we can have a 10 days forecast for the weather evolution, which is contextualized to the vessel position. And then we can simulate many tracks and choose the best possibility in order to be on time, as well as consuming the less possible fuel. So this revolution is only 20 years old about. So it's a very strong help in order to use sail again and overcome the problem of punctuality.
When we talk to people about sailing cargo ships, they always ask us about timing. They say, oh, it's going to take too long. And I say, no, you don't understand. And I think that there's a learning curve on the side of the public and other people in shipping about the time frame now. But you explained it beautifully there, Jean. That was perfect. I'd like to ask you now about the ship that you're building, the Neoliner. This is going to be a cargo sailboat propelled primarily by wind, with a goal of reducing emissions by almost up to 90% of what current levels are. We want to know more about this. We're so curious. Tell us about the size, the capacity, rigging, speed. Where's it being built? What kind of cargo are you going to take?
Yeah, so this this vessel is 136 meters length. So it's quite a very large sailing vessel, but not a very large cargo vessel. The width will be 24 meters. The vessel will have the capability to carry about 5,000 tons of cargo. And the vessel is a ro-ro vessel. So ro-ro vessel means rolling in, rolling out. You have at the stern of the ship a stern ramp that you can lay down on the quay, and then you can load and unload the ship by rolling with track. And so we can carry very large range of cargoes on board this vessel. We will carry containers, but we will also carry engines, rolling engines. We will also carry boats from Beneteau. Of course, these boats will be loaded on top of trailers. You can carry very, very large and different size of dry cargoes. The vessel will have a rigging which is a little bit special, because it's a duplex rigging, which means the vessel will have four masts, but the masts are positioned on the sides of the vessel. They are connected two by two. It allows to have a better stability, and it also allows to have an easier time folding the mast, because we also have the capability to fold the mast. The reason for that is because the air draft of the vessel when the masts are erected is 67 meters. So it's very high, and so it's a problem when you have to cross bridges. So we had to have a system in order to reduce the air draft, and the mast can rotate and go down. So the total sail area is about 4,200 square meters. So it's quite big. I cannot make the conversion on baseball field, but it's quite large. This surface will be divided in 8 sails. So 2 per mast, 1 staysail and 1 mainsail. We also have another thing which is quite interesting is that we have anti-drifting fins under the water. Each fin is about 9 meters going down. These fins allows to reduce the drag of the vessel and maintain the course of the vessel when sailing upwind. And these anti-drifting fins can be folded inside the hull. So the water draft when we go inside the harbor is about 5.5 meters. When we are in deep sea, the water draft is about 15 meters. And the speed of the vessel is, commercial speed is 11 knots. But when we say commercial speed, we mean a direct speed toward the destination, but the vessel will follow the wind. So most of the time, it will take some detour around the direct track in order to have the best wind condition. And so the vessel will generally go a little bit faster, close to 12 knots. But the vessel will also have the capability to use auxiliary engine. Auxiliary engine allows to make harbor maneuvering. It also allows, in case of we do not have at all wind, we can still go forward. These engines are diesel electric engines. Speed with the engine can go up to 14 knots. It allows to catch up in case of we made wrong with weather forecast. The vessel is planned to be built by a French shipyard.
Great.
Which is the Neopolia located in Saint-Nazaire. But in fact, it will be partially subcontracted in Turkey. The steel hull will be built in Turkey. When the hull is finished and painted, it will be towed to Saint-Nazaire in France. Then the building will be finished in Nantes, and the rigging will be built in Saint-Nazaire and fitted on the ship.
Jean, tell us about the sails, because for a lot of people, they think the sail, it's made of linen, it's made of cotton, but that's not really what you have. So tell us about that technology.
The fabric of sails is something that we are still following and looking. We did not make a final decision because we have various possibilities. And that's the advantage when you use technology like soft sails. We can have a wide range of possibilities. So we can have less expensive is Dacron. So Dacron is a composite tissue, which is on three layers, very widely used on board sailing ships. And then we have also possibilities to use carbon fibers. There are a few sail makers that are doing big sails using carbon fibers, and they are very carefully crafted. It's more expensive, but it should be also more durable. And then the last option we have by the biggest French shipyard, which is Chantier de l'Atlantique. So they are developing a concept of a sail with semi-rigid panels. It's a little bit like an accordion. So when you heave up the sail, the panel go upright. And so it acts a little bit like a sail with a feather. The durability of the sail is about equal to the ship. The building of the vessel will have a 2.5 years duration. So we have still a little bit of time to choose our sails.
I do want to go back to something that you mentioned before. You were talking about sailing with the wind, and that brought me up to your roots. So your roots are a little unusual, departing from Saint-Nazaire and stopping in Halifax and Saint-Pierre-et-Miquelon in the Canadian Maritimes. Tell us about this different route of yours and how you came to choose it and how it's going to help you with your business.
Our first vessel will be pilot vessels. And as I mentioned before, these vessels are a little bit small compared to the big cargo ships and especially container ships that are operating in transatlantic routes. We really wanted to find a niche market in order to be able to propose interesting prices for the customers, as well as having enough revenues to really make the operation of the vessel profitable. We've tried first to find the clients using oversized cargoes, so which really need specialized transport capabilities, so that the biggest exporter of ro-ro cargo towards the United States are Groupe Beneteau and Manitou Group. These two big players are located just not far from Saint-Nazaire. And so it was really sensible to start the line as close as possible to this factory in order to reduce their inland transportation. And then both are going to Baltimore, the biggest rural port in the East Coast of the United States. This was the first framework of our line. With these two big customers interested with the service from Saint-Nazaire to Baltimore, we were looking for other customers around this axis. And we found out that Saint-Pierre-et-Miquelon, which is a French archipelago, does not have today a direct link from France mainland. With our shipping line, we will connect directly Saint-Pierre-et-Miquelon to mainland. And that's very interesting for them because today the transit time of freight from France mainland to Saint-Pierre-et-Miquelon is about 20 to 22 days. And with our line, it will be only 8 days. So in fact, we'll be faster. So we've continued on that way in order to find one by one interested customers. For example, we've made an engagement with NSE.
Yes, we saw that. That's huge. Congratulations. Did you find them or they found you? And how did it all come together? That's a huge coup.
Yeah, so in fact, we've tried to talk to them a few years ago, and then they recontacted us at the beginning of 2020. And at that time, they were really interested to reduce the impact of their shipping. And so we started to work out how it could happen. And clearly, NSE is one of the biggest French exporter in terms of container, exporting thousands of 40-foot containers. They would need a bigger service than ours. So we can only take a part. It's about 6% of their total flow that we will take on the third vessel. So we are very, very proud to have this strong customer with us. And we hope that on this pilot line, we can convince them for another more specialized and bigger line, specialized in containers that we could develop in the future.
To build on that, Jean, Hennessy is not your only marquee customer. We read that Renault, Michelin are working with you now. You're really gaining a lot of ground in with these larger international companies. And we want to ask you about those customers, and they have so many choices out there in the market. What brings them to you?
In fact, if you want to really reduce your impact, you do not have so much choices. And especially on the containers, you can only use diesel vessel right now. And they are very big vessels, so they are quite efficient in energy terms. But as they are very big, they only make few calls in Europe. And these calls are often far from the factories. It's not very virtuous in terms of environmental impact. And we are really trying something very different to use smaller vessel, but drastically reduce the fuel consumption. And they are really interested in the fact that it's a first step in order to have tomorrow a service which will be more industrialized, bigger, and also closer to zero emission by using wind. I think today there is a new generation of people taking decisions in companies, and this generation is now convinced that we really have to act in order to reduce our impact. And regarding the shipping, we do not have so much alternatives aside of using wind. The main big players are so big that they cannot directly use wind efficiently. So I think we convinced them because we were able to propose to them a service that is still standardized. So we are still using containers. So we fit in their logistical chain. We can work with their freight forwarders. We work with everybody. We are very ambitious in the reduction. So I think this is what the cocktail that convinced them to go with us.
Those motivations of Michelin, Hennessy, Clarins, Renault, and others, it speaks to the responsibility of corporations right now that they seem to be taking more seriously. but also a demand from customers, right? As consumers, we know so much more now about how goods are transported to us. And certainly during the pandemic, we have all experienced disruptions in the supply chain. Do you think, though, for some of these companies, Jean, it is about looking good, right, and going green? Or do you think that they all have their bottom line as a consideration and they know that sooner or later, going with an alternative shipping solution is just going to be the better business solution to it? Or do you think it's more of a combination of the two?
I'm convinced that it's a combination of the both. Of course, the systems that we are developing and the new vessels are looking good, and they are meant to be interesting added value in terms of marketing. And if it can be, that's very nice. We also want to be very ambitious, as I said, and so it is a very strong step forward in the appearance of low carbon transport. For these companies, I really think that they have a real adhesion with this vision, making a lot of noise, but to really propose something else at an industrial scale. And this is what they what convinced them, because they don't want to make only looking good things. They really want to reduce globally their impact. In fact, I think a good sign of this is that when we talk to these companies, we are talking to the logistic people. And it's the communication side and even health and safety and environmental CSR policy is only coming after the logistic head have validated. And that's very powerful, because it takes a lot of time at the beginning to be able to convince the logistic team. But when the logistic team holds a project internal of the corporation, that's very powerful.
Jean, on this podcast, we've really talked to many people in Europe trying to shift the focus when we can to U.S. coast. You're doing work on this coast, and we'd love to get your impressions of your American exporters, their reactions to the ship, and tell us about the exporters themselves. What are they saying about working with you?
I can say that when we visited Baltimore, really well welcomed by the harbor authorities and the harbor community. We felt a lot of friendship, a lot of interest in what we are proposing. They really gave us a lot of information and proposed us a lot of things, in fact. We really found easy to have information and to start to set up negotiation and agreements in Baltimore, at the only condition is to go to see them.
Right.
It's not something you easily set up when you only stay in France. You really have to go there and to meet people, and then you really receive a lot in return. And we were very, very happy from our trips. On the second point, I must talk also about the US exporter. Mm-hmm. And on this side, we did not yet prospect enough. So we still have a lot of work to do to fill up the ship on the eastbound, because it's also difficult, as I said, from France to really convince people in the US. We also feel that when we have started the building and then we will have a confirmed starting date of the service, it will also be easier to convince in the US.
Sure. But, so that seeing is believing, you think?
Yeah. So we still have a lot of work to do in the US and a lot of to discover also. But yes, we can already say that on the harbor community, it's just amazing. On the exporter, we still have to work.
Tell us about carbon free. That's something that's been a part of Neoline's ethos for a while. What do you think that Neoline is going to offer to future shippers that is not present in the industry right now?
Today, we have very strong information about the impact of climate change. And so we know that the objective is not to reduce by 10 or 20% our impact, but it's to go as fast as possible to zero or very close to zero. And this is an ambition which is very, very high and which needs to change the way we are looking ship design, but also ship operation. And our company, Neoline, is run by people who used to work on board vessels. And so we are working on the technological side, but also on the operational side. And that's very important. And I will take an example. It's the speed of ships. If you change the speed of ships, you can save a lot of energy. For example, a vessel which is sailing at 15 knots, if you accept to reduce the speed to 11 knots, as we do, we divide by two the need of energy for the same trip. So that's very impactful. And this is not a technological thing. It's something which is heavily operational. And of course, you need to have a global transport service, which is designed in order to accept this lower speed. This is really the vision we had. It's to work on every lever that we can in order to reduce as fast as possible and as much as possible emissions. But we also want to remain in an industrial frame, which means that we still can carry standardized cargoes like containers, and we are still on prices that are very close to the market. And when we say zero emission, of course, zero emission is an ambition. We will get very close to zero, but of course, getting to exactly zero, it's very, very difficult. But the first vessel, we already have the objective to reduce by 80 to 90% of fuel consumption by relying heavily on sails and also sailing slower than classical vessels. And then from that, we will build up and integrate other technologies in order to reduce further the emission of the vessel to be very close to zero. One of the advantage of the solutions that we are putting in place is that we use very low fuel. So we are not in risk regarding the variation of fuel prices. And therefore, we do not apply the bunker adjustment factor. So all the companies have a bunker adjustment factor. So they make a negotiation, they agree on price with the cargo shipper. But on this, it's a variable part, the bunker adjustment factor. For Neoline, we do not need that because we use very little fuel. Regarding the competitivity on the cost, it depends if we are looking on the niche market or on the mass market. On the niche market, so I mean oversized, big ro-ro cargoes, like the boats, like the big engines, or also cargo going to Saint-Pierre-et-Miquelon, which is a niche market. For these markets, we are competitive compared to the actual transport system that our customers are using. We can offer generally faster service because it's closer from the customer and at the same price and with very low impact, low emissions. So that's very interesting for them in these terms. Regarding the mass market, so for example, containers, typically for cargo shipper like NSE. So we are indeed a little bit more expensive than the market because the scale effect is too much against us because our vessel is only 136 meters length. Mm-hmm. And where you have a container ship with a 300 meters length plus. So in that case, we are more expensive than the market. But we can say that today with the COVID impact, which is making the costs of containers completely crazy, we are not so much expensive.
Jean, there's something that we ask every guest on the podcast, and we explain it in a way where we say that our raison d'être with this podcast is that we believe in 100 years from now, people are going to look back on this generation and say that we were so foolish and short-sighted about using bunker fuel, and that wind power is free, renewable, it's been around for a long time, and we know so much about it. Tell us why you think that in some ways it was so undervalued, and then why with Neoline you've decided to take that into the 21st century.
I think the fundamental point about what you are talking about is it's a question of the productivity of assets. last centuries, we've always been on the move toward increasing productivity on every asset. When you build a new factory, it's in order to make more with less, always, with less costs, but more energy. If you make more, you always need more energy. So this seeking of increasing productivity always means using more and more and more energy. And reducing greenhouse gases emissions means reducing energy consumption. And it's not only by changing the lamp. In fact, with a sailing ship project, you propose to build and to finance an asset with a lower productivity than the previous counterpart. And that's a problem. Of course, it's completely against the financial rules. And so it's very difficult to convince that even if the ship has a lower productivity, its profitability can still be good or even higher. And that's the thing, in fact, in this kind of project, in our project, but also in other kind of project in the maritime. Yeah, so I think that the point which make this kind of project very difficult to build upon and to make it real. So today, as I said, the novelty that really enable to use wind again and reliably on board vessels is the weather forecast and the routing system simulations. So that's a very powerful tool, really gave the capability operationally to use as much as wind possible, as well as arriving on time at the harbors.
Right. Jean, do you consider Neoline and yourselves disruptors?
I think we really try to make our best in order to propose something which is as well as ambitious and industrial. So this cocktail might appear a little bit disruptive, but I think what is a disruption is using sail on an industrial scale. So yes, on this side, you can find a disruption. The other thing is that on the maritime community and especially in the merchant marine community, it just makes sense for a lot of colleagues and officers. Not everyone. Some are laughing, of course. A lot of people are, you know, they already have this kind of picture in their mind. In fact, I think we put live a little bit what a lot of people have already in mind in the maritime industry.
And I did want to ask you about financing, right? There's a lot of different ideas around this. And in fact, we did an episode a little while ago called Who Pays for Global Shipping? We want to know who pays for yours, right? Neoline it's a private company, but you have a lot of partnerships. And we think that financing would be straightforward, but maybe it's not. So can you give us a picture of what that looks like right now?
It is also something which is innovative and difficult.
Oh yeah, and we know nothing is cheap in the shipping industry.
We are a new company, so it's also more difficult to gather a very big investment when you're a new company and you don't have so much track record. So that's the first point. But we are lucky because we were joined by a French ship owner, which is Groupe Sogestran.
Yep.
And so this ship owner is specialized in the river shipping. It is a leader in France for this. And also he has bought several companies on the maritime side. So an expansion on the maritime. So Gestion really shared our vision and to propose something which is different in terms of vessel propulsion. And so there will be the first investor. The vessel will be financed about one quarter by equity and three quarter by debt. So on the equity, Sogestran is the first investor. And then we will have several other investors, private investors, but also some are public French investors. On the debt side, we are talking exclusively now with a French bank, And so we hope that we can close the financing within the next weeks.
Okay. So you've got a lot on your plate, Jean.
Yeah, that's a very big thing because the vessel is innovative, so it's difficult for a financer to know which value in case of I have to sell the ship. So you have a lot of questions to answer, and that's it's also a challenge.
But the journey also sounds like it's worth it. And something that we love on this show is when we talk to people who really enjoy what they're doing. And we definitely get the sense that this is, you really made this your life's work. It's a passion, but it's more than just a passion project. It's real business.
Yeah, and I also think that what is really interesting is that you start to talk with a lot of people which is not from your culture at the beginning. And that's
true.
Very, very interesting. For example, I can have some very nice chat with people from the bank about, carbon transition and things like this, which is very, very interesting. So it does give a lot of motivation when you feel that talking with all these people help also to push forward the sense that we must do ambitious transition, and we can do ambitious transition. It's not easy, but we can do it, and we must do it. And that's very, very interesting. And I'm very glad to have the opportunity to push a little bit on my level these ideas.
You're an influencer, Jean.
Yeah, on my small level, yes. That's very interesting.
So we always like to give our guests an opportunity to take the floor, give us some final thoughts. Tell us what's on your mind right now and really what you'd love to see in global shipping in the next 5 years.
I would love that when we would have operated our first vessel and show to everybody that it works. In fact, it works technically, operationally, and financially. That we are in fact copied by a lot of people because we could not put a patent on the sailing ship.
Right.
So it's free. Everybody can try to change for using sails, so or using wind at least. And so we really hope that it is largely spread, and we really hope to contribute consciousness that using wind on board vessels is just a sensible way to do it.
Well, we're so happy to hear that. We know that Baltimore is on your radar, but we do hope that you'll make a stop in New York.
Thank you very much. And I'm very sure that if not the second line, the third or the fourth line will go through New York.
Well, we'll know where to find you then. We've been speaking with Jean Zanutini, the CEO of Neoline, a startup based in Nantes. Jean, thank you again for joining us. We're so thankful for your time.
Thank you very much, Kat.
Thanks so much for listening to the show this week. If you're not already subscribed, please sign up to Hoisting the Sail wherever you get your podcasts. For more information, visit Windsupport NYC on LinkedIn. Write to us at podcast@windsupport.nyc.